I'm happy it's Friday. How about you guys? You happy?
Yes, yes, yes.
Hey, you guys didn't get the memo. Hello, 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 Bowtie Friday. What's up? You guys didn't get the memo? Joey? Sorry. Okay. Maybe there wasn't a memo, but I'm giving you a memo right now. It's not really a memo. It's an announcement. This Sunday, last gathering of 2014, it is Dress Sharp Sunday, all right? So we want you to dress up sharply for the last gathering. You can define sharply how you want. If it's a bow tie, sweet. If it's a suit, sweet. If it's khaki and dress shirt, sweet. That's men. That's men. Ladies, I don't even need to tell you how to dress sharply. You come as well. But if you haven't come to the gathering before, 8 o'clock this Sunday, Dimnit Chapel, dress sharply. All right. Hey, open up your Bibles. Let's open up our Bibles to Luke chapter 15. Get on your little smartphones. Pew Bible, it's page 850. There's not enough to share. Share it with the person next to you. Luke chapter 15. I love hearing that rustling. Way to go. This morning, I want us to look at the love of a father. Now, over my 20 years as chaplain here at Hope College, I've seen the significant impact that a father has on the life of a child, sons and daughters both included. And in many cases, the impact has not always been positive, whether that's due to the issue of absence or abandonment or betrayal or rejection or just the simple inability of a father to be a father. Regardless of the issue, the result is always the same. The son or the daughter is left with a deep wound. And to deal with that pain of the wound, many of us sitting here today, will do everything possible to suppress, bury, and hide the deep wound down in our souls, hoping that it will never come up again. But the problem is, it will. And it does surface, sometimes at the most unpredictable times, and sometimes at the most predictable times, like right now, late November. And why in late November? Because we're moving towards two of the most public and promoted family-oriented holidays on the calendar year of the West, Thanksgiving and Christmas. And not only does the pain from the wound of our earthly fathers get surfaced during this time of year, but it begins to leak over and affect our vision of God, who Jesus called Father. And so for many of us sitting here this morning, we have acquired a distorted view of our relationship with God and his love for us, much like the two sons had in regard to their father in the parable that Jesus tells in the 15th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. And we're going to pick that up in verse 11, which will be read by my good friend and campus ministry associate chaplain, Jerry Root. Rooter, would you? Oh, yeah, you can give Rooter a little loving. That's good. Rooter, read the word of God.
Jesus continued, There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Well, not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to the fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. Well, when he came to his senses, he said, How many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son. He threw his arms around him and he kissed him. The son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Quick, go bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. "Your brother has come," he replied, "and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound." The older brother became angry and he refused to go in. So his father went out and he pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him." "My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God. Neither son, the younger or the elder, understood the father's love. The younger son initially saw no need for the father's love. From his perspective, the father's only value was to simply supply him with all the resources that he needed to support his own self-centered lifestyle. And the elder son believed that his father's love and approval was the result of him being good, working hard, and doing the right thing. He believed that he was loved and received his father's love, and it was conditional, and that it functioned more like a contract. If I do this, I deserve this. Both of these perspectives were wrong, which also led to misplaced understandings of how they thought their father viewed them. I mean, the younger son, after literally communicating to his father that he wished he was dead by taking his inheritance while his father was still alive, which was unheard of in Jewish culture at that time, and after squandering the inheritance on foolish living, the younger son comes squabbling back to the father. And I'm sure if you would ask the younger son what his father would have thought about him at that point, he probably would have used words like disappointed or ashamed and failure. And if you would ask the elder son the very same question at that time, "What do you think your father thinks about you?" I bet the elder son would have thought things like, "I think my father thinks that I'm not very interesting, or he doesn't notice me, or that I seem invisible to my father." However, both are shocked by the responses of their father to their false projections. In verse 21, we see the younger son, that when the father sees his son, he runs to his son. And for the elder son, who wouldn't come into the house because he was so mad and bitter, so the father goes out to the elder son to meet him. In both cases, the father takes the initiative to go out to the sons. He moves towards them in their shame, in their guilt, in their embarrassment, in their fear, in their anger, in their hurt, in their bitterness, in their woundedness. And then, I think this is one of the most beautiful parts of the scripture, the father calls both of them by their true identity. He calls them sons. He doesn't call them hired hands. He doesn't call them employees. He doesn't call them slaves, but he calls both of them sons. Every one of us has a deep, deep need to experience the Father's love and a deep, deep longing to hear the Father call us son or daughter. Author Brendan Manning in his book, Abba's Child, writes this: "The basis of my personal worth and validation is not on my possessions, not on my talents, not on the esteem of others, not on reputation, not on kudos or appreciation from parents or kids or friends, not on applause, not in everyone thinking I'm very important. I stand anchored now in God before whom I stand naked, this God who tells me, you are my son, you are my daughter, you are my beloved." I know there are some of us sitting here this morning who are carrying a misplaced understanding of what God thinks about you, which impacts our relationship with him. And our pain and our wounds have clouded God's deep love and affection for us, and they have deafened our ears to God calling out to us as his sons, as his daughters. The Father's desired purpose with both of his sons, the younger and the older, in the parable that Luke shares, the purpose is this: restoration and union with the Father, which the younger son accepted and lived into, but we're not quite sure about the elder son, are we? Because Jesus left the elder son story open-ended. And I think I have an idea why Jesus did that. Could it be that Jesus knew that some of us here sitting today in Dimnit Chapel in late November need to write the ending to the story because it's your story? And we need to allow God, our Heavenly Father, to come to us in our woundedness and to validate, to love us, and to restore us as his sons and his daughters. You think so? I do. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.